In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. What on earth is hyssop? And why on earth would anyone want to be purged with it? Psalm 51 is one of the most well-known psalms, and yet it's full of little mysteries. Little mysteries that open the door to profound realities. We know that Psalm 51 was occasioned by King David's great fall into unbelief and sin. The root of all sin is unbelief. And it was unbelief that allowed David's life to transform into a web of adultery and lies, murder and cover-up. David finally came to his senses when God sent Nathan to him. Nathan told that little story about the sheep that we heard just a few moments ago. David declared the man in the story guilty and condemned him to death. Nathan said to David, "You are the man." Though personal testimonies are currently in vogue in the LCMS, you'll find nothing of the kind in Psalm 51. No lurid details, no wallowing in self-pity, no attempt to grab street cred by means of an ex-bad boy humble brag, testimony, about how cool I was, how rotten I once was. The pastors and theologians swept up in this fad ought to be asked, if you are indeed so ashamed of your sins and sorry for them, then why do you keep bringing them up publicly? Blog hits? Speaking engagements? And what unintended message is being sent? That great sins aren't all that dangerous? Christ saw me through it, he'll see you through it too? That great sins are prerequisite for a deeper understanding of the gospel? Look how much I sinned, and look how gospel-y I am now. By way of contrast, consider the humility and modesty of King David. Consider the humility and modesty of his public confession. In Psalm 51, he simply prays, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment." In these opening verses of Psalm 51, we see what true repentance looks like. It pulls no punches. It is complete and total. And yet it is also humble and modest, and certainly not designed to draw attention to the sinner and his specific sins. In fact, David is so intent on making his confession, not to men, but to God alone, he pens one of those little mysteries that I mentioned before. He says to God, "Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight." But surely he sinned against Bathsheba and Uriah, not to mention his military, indeed, the entire nation. All that's true, of course. But there's another way yet in which we can see our sin. And frankly, it's a more heartbreaking way. All sin is ultimately against God. When we confess our sins to God, we are in effect saying, "I have done this thing to you," or "against you." All creatures, all people belong to God. To sin against the creature is to sin against the Creator. To be more concrete, when you sin against your parents or spouse or children or the people you know, you are sinning against God, who has so graciously given these people into your life. What's more, our sinful nature is very good at self-justification, isn't it? Pretty much whenever we sin against someone else, we can justify that sin, at least in part. Surely they or someone else is at least partly to blame. It takes two to tango, after all. But not so when we consider our sins, any sin, in relation to God alone. All attempts at self-justification melt away, for God is truly innocent. He is the completely innocent Father, the completely innocent giver and provider, the completely innocent servant and lover, the completely innocent helper and friend. And every last sin we commit is a sin directly against Him. In this way, we see how evil and wicked we truly are. And we see that we do indeed deserve nothing but punishment and hell. Every single sin is a sin against the innocent one. True confession of sin is not wallowing in it to be seen by others. Nor is true confession wallowing in self-pity curved in on ourselves. True confession of sins to God is to be made in humility, and if in public, then in modesty. Remember those words of Psalm 51, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." God wants you to confess your sins to Him, but not for your glory, and not even for His. He wants you to confess your sins to Him in order to receive His absolution, His forgiveness. And He wants you to understand your need for Jesus. It's not the more you sin, the more you will love Jesus. It's the more you understand your sins and your sinful nature, the more you will love Jesus. All that you cannot do for God, Jesus does for you. And all that you do against God, Jesus takes it as if it were His own, and He takes the punishment too. You don't have to have terrible sins in order to know the depths of Jesus' love. Rather, you need to understand that all sins, even the little boring ones, are truly terrible and damnable in themselves. Then you will love Jesus just as deeply as the woman who washed His feet with her tears. For Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, the sick, the sinful, the messed up. He didn't come for anyone else. But He doesn't need us to compete for who is or who was the most messed up. He came to take all our sins upon Himself, all your sins, including your little, boring, but utterly damnable sins. He takes them into His own flesh so that on the last day you won't be damned in your flesh, but rather in your flesh He will raise you up to walk in righteousness and purity every day for all eternity. Against you, you only have I sinned. And so for me, me only, you sent Jesus. Look to the cross, dear Christian, and see the physical suffering. See the unspeakable spiritual agony of being forsaken by God. That is what you, personally and individually, deserve. But Jesus is in your place. He is there, and not you. He is there for you. And now you have forgiveness, life, and salvation. We pray with David, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." And that is the very thing that God does. God, through the death and resurrection of Jesus, comes to restore your joy by blotting out your sins with Jesus' own blood, by washing you clean through the waters of holy baptism, by preaching a right spirit into you. And yes, also by purging you with hyssop. In the Old Testament, hyssop is described as a small plant that can often be found growing out of walls. The scriptures say that hyssop was used to paint the blood of the Passover lamb upon the doorway. Hyssop was also used by Moses to sprinkle the people with the blood of the Old Covenant. Later, priests used hyssop mixed with blood to make the unclean clean. So David also says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. In John's gospel, we are told that as Jesus hung from the cross, a sponge was attached to a hyssop branch. And that little branch was put to his lips. And as it was put to his lips, that little branch points and preaches that this Jesus Christ hanging from the cross is the fulfillment of all these Old Testament things. Here is the true Passover lamb, whose blood you drink, for the life is in his blood, whose blood is painted not upon the doorway of your house, but upon the doorway of your body, upon your lips, that the angel of death might pass over you. Here is our Moses, not condemning us with the law, but under the law's full condemnation himself, so that he might make for us a new covenant in his blood. And as we drink it in from the chalice, from the inside out, he sprinkles us clean. Here is your merciful high priest who has compassion on you, who sees the leprosy and filthiness of your sin and sprinkles you, not with the blood of bulls, but with his own blood to make you eternally clean. And here too is the answer to David's prayer. He purges David with hyssop, which is to say, he cleanses David with his own blood. And as you also pray this prayer and psalm of David, he purges you with hyssop, which is to say, he cleanses you with his own blood and washes you whiter than snow. For his blood cleanses you from all your sins, both great and small. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.